Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince for another episode of Uncomfortable. Today, we're going to talk about, you know, mentorship versus discipleship. You know, Vince, many times we don't like to dig into this topic very much because we like to assume that mentorship and discipleship are all the same thing. Are they? Are they different? You know, let's dig deep into this and really explore this and try to figure out the differences between what it is to be influenced in your spiritual life versus being mentored in your spiritual life. And what does it really mean?
That is a great, great topic to get into. I actually have this conversation sometimes with some of my people in my classes and things like that. And it can get very interesting because some people do not like to distinguish the two. They think they're one and the same, and there's others that are hardcore, like, no, it's one is better than the other and all that jazz. So I know it gets not like horribly heated, not like it's this huge topic that people are like on either side. But
well, let's think about this. I mean, I think we overcomplicate things in the church many times.
I think that's where I was heading with.
And I really don't want to try to make people feel bad, or I do want you to be uncomfortable because I want you to dig in the word and figure out things according to what right. The gospel says. But let's just really simplify things, because the word says that we should be able to understand things like a child, right? So if we look at what the definition of mentorship is, right? Mentorship really goes back to the whole key idea of like an apprenticeship. You're being mentored. You're being apprenticed, right? So it's helping right. To develop your skills, your career, your character guidance. It's giving you core skills, right? It's basically developing a skill set. However, discipleship is really more Christ-centered spiritual transformation on your life journey. Because it's living life with each other. Right? When you see Jesus discipling the apostles and they become his disciples, his students, he doesn't just teach them like a mentor. He lives life with them. He's in the thick of it with them. He's giving them life experiences that not only teach them career skills and, you know, the fivefold ministry, but he puts them in situations that forces them into spiritual transformation that will affect the long-term journey. It's not just a momentary thing that he's doing. Even though he was only with them for 3 years, he had such an impact on the 12 apostles that it carried them for their entirety of the remainder of their life, even to the point to where they would give up their life for Christ.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. I know you're probably going to take off, and like me, you can run forever when we get into the thick of talking about it. I like this one term, and I've heard it before, and I've even said it before, not like this, but I was just looking at it, and I found a good way to put this.
Okay.
So, and then we can go back and revisit some of the individual aspects of things, but it's like this. It says, although someone who is a discipler or someone who leads disciples often does mentor their people, not every mentor is discipling their people, because they have their two distinct roles. And the so like discipleship is it's a lot bigger and broader. It covers more foundation. Mm-hmm. It covers a lot more stuff, where mentorship tends to be more focused on a specific thing. It's more like, here's your five steps to get to the next level of this kind of thing. You can be a mentor in business, so on and so forth. So you can start a mentorship that can grow into a discipleship, or there could be a discipleship that becomes more of a mentorship over time. Like the relationship that tends to come to mind when you're thinking about it is like for a mentorship, you're looking at like almost like a coach or something. Like think about you're looking to go to a different position or you're looking to become an entrepreneur, and there's somebody out there that has this business and has been doing it for 20 years.
Or you just
You
think of
might,
Karate Kid.
oh, you go. Like Mr. Miyagi,
Mr. Miyagi.
he's a great mentor.
And
He
Daniel
can
Song.
advise you, navigate you in a certain position in life or something like that. Whereas like the someone who is a who you sit under for discipleship tends to cover a lot more things. Like they, although there's a lot of structure sometimes to it, sometimes it's a lot more like holistic, a lot more natural and organic. Like things like being a parent, you're discipling that child in their life. You're teaching them about right and wrong, good and bad.
Well,
The,
I actually feel like I'm being corrected by what you're saying. I think really Mr. Miyagi's more of the, one that's discipling versus mentoring.
it's possible. There's aspects of
I mean,
him, though, that
there
he
are,
was.
I mean, but at the same time, if you really look at it, it's really more of the discipleship because he's teaching life principles that go with Daniel's son the remainder of his life. But if you look at the construction worker, right, for example, he's learning a trade, whether he's an electrician, a carpenter, and he is being taught by his instructor key trade skills that carry with him the rest of his career. It doesn't really deal with a character most of the time. It doesn't really deal with, lifelong lessons, but it does give him key skills that he needs to be successful in his everyday life. Now,
Great point. I like that one. I like that one better.
so as we're going through discipleship, maybe the disciple will be taught by his teacher, not just through instruction, but actually sit down and discuss the topics in detail. Go
Yeah.
through personal experiences, right? Now, some mentors will do this as well. However, those mentors generally are beginning to move into discipleship with their mentees because they're going a little deeper than just the actual mentorship process, right? They're not just teaching only life skills. They're now getting into the nitty-gritty, the day-to-day, the fine-tuning of that machine so that they can help their mentee become more than just a mentee, that now they're becoming a disciple. As Christians, we want our disciples to become not just like us, but like Christ, because we're trying to be more like Christ. And we hope that our mentors are, kind of directing us to be more like Jesus because we want to be in the image of Christ. You and I both have this saying, you've got a t-shirt, which most people can't see, but and I've also been saying it for years and didn't even know someone made a t-shirt out of it that says, choose to be the thermostat, not the thermometer. But the thing is to be the thermostat and not the thermometer, you need someone to show you how to do that. Right? To be able to set the atmosphere instead of just take the temperature of the atmosphere, you need to have discipleship that goes just beyond basic teaching so that you can maintain in those hard moments, in those trials, in those tribulations, through those moments of hardship. You need to have that tested and tried and true foundation. Right? Now, what is it, Vince, when you're working with your students at school and they're asking you about faith and you're asking about the tension between, faith and life and growth? Where do you point them? How do you lead them?
Like I kind of find too, like before I get into that specifics, I kind of find that those that tend to do life with you. And it stretches, it starts as a mentorship. A lot of times ends up crossing over. I have a couple of guys that I work with that I would have to say at this point, it's gone beyond mentorship. They still refer to me as a mentor, but I would have to say it's crossed into discipleship on some things because now it's adjusting behaviors, it's adjusting attitudes, it's challenging them on on things in their life that in maybe it's traumas and things that have held them back, and dealing with those and giving those to the Lord and working through those. Whereas a lot of times the mentorships I do are a lot shorter in their period of time. You know, it's 3 months, it's 8 months, it could be a year, it could be even 2 years, but it's the difference in if we stay pretty much confined to that topic or two.
You know, maybe we
You
need
know.
to take it a step deeper. You know, who sets the agenda in mentorship or discipleship? Is it the mentor or is it Christ? You know, because once it becomes discipleship, it's Jesus. Because
I think
we're following the direction, the agenda that Christ gave us when we're discipling people.
as a believer and as a leader in that case, whether you're a mentor or a discipler, I would have to say that he should be setting the agenda regardless.
I agree.
I do think that when you're coming together specifically in these sessions though, that you have to have buy-in from the people that are your mentees or disciples, so to speak, because you have to get them to take a part in it and be like, what do you really want to talk about? Why are we here? Why is this really, especially if it's a mentorship and they've sought you out and or the Lord has put you together. Why are we here today? What are you wanting to talk about? What do we want to go over? You know what I mean? So just different things like that. And it can be simple stuff as it could be things like as simple as, hey, I need to put together a sermon and I feel like God's leading me to do this, but there's some things and aspects I don't understand. Okay, maybe we walk the next few weeks together and work on this, and that's it. And that's the length of that relationship, and that's okay. A mentorship in my understand in my how I see it, there is no predetermined amount of time other than when the two of them come together, the mentor and the mentee, and sit down and say, okay, we're probably going to meet for this rough amount of time to cover this topic or whatever. And when it's time, that's okay. We can part ways.
Do you think that sometimes, Vince, that the church labels almost everything as mentorship to make it feel less confrontational or intense?
I think they do it to call, consider it to make it sound less Christian,
Ooh,
or not
man.
less Christian, but less Christianese or whatever. Oh, we have our mentorships. They're afraid of the word discipleship
Well, I think the reason they do that
and
personally
chase people off.
is it's a little less deep. It's a little more surface level. You know what I mean? Because when you're just mentoring someone, it's not necessarily getting into the nitty-gritty of their life. Because let's just be real.
That's true.
If you're discipling somebody, it's challenging. Why is it challenging? Because you're going to have uncomfortable conversations. There'll be pruning involved. There's going to be
Oh,
conversations about being submissive. You know, and that doesn't mean just between husband and wife. That means as a Christian believer, I'm supposed to submit my life to Christ. And sometimes, as brothers, we have to say, hey, Vince, or you have to say, hey, Kirk, or we may even call out other friends, XYZ in your life is not exactly where it needs to be. You may need to go to the prayer closet and ask God, how do you need to adjust this situation in your life to make
yeah.
it fit what He's called you to do, or to make it fit the way you're supposed to lead your family, or fill in the blank, right? And also, there needs to be conversations about obedience. Obedience to our Lord and Savior, right? Obedience
Right.
to the gospel. It could be, you know, considering our spouse, you know, being obedient when our leadership tells us that something is going to be detrimental to us. And we're trying to do something just because we want it, we desire it. But leadership is trying to sit there and say, hey, yo, Vince, that's going to take you down a road that's full of destruction. Now we have the right to not listen and be disobedient. But if we're obedient, that leader's directing us in a path just like a parent that's trying to keep the child out of the fire, right? When they smack the hand of the child, you know, that leader is trying to direct us in a way that says, hey, you're going to get hurt, you know, and that correction, that direction, leading us to a choice to be obedient gives us the opportunity to put ourselves in submission, possibly pruning out things of our life that really shouldn't be there, you know. And when we entertain those uncomfortable conversations, it causes us to grow.
Well, I'm going to throw something else at you, Kirk, and this is probably going to hurt saying this one.
Uh-oh.
I think one of the other reasons that we commit to mentorship over discipleship is because it doesn't require as much from us.
Man,
Think about,
you are really poking the bear on that one.
because think about it like this, right? Mentorship, and it's in one of the basic, because I'm looking at some of my notes here for one of my classes. Mentorship in its basic form is it's encouragement driven. You're helping to uplift them and support them and usually push them in the direction, right? Maybe it involves a specific training process, but usually it's not this huge, deep, massive, in-depth training. Because even if that is a thing, even if you're like, okay, we're going to start working in this field of science and we're going to do some deep training, okay, that crosses into discipleship. It really does, because I mean, discipleship as the word itself, it's not limited to Christianity. And like you had mentioned before, with an apprenticeship, you know, you start off as an apprentice, work into a journeyman, and then become like a master electrician,
Oh,
master
yeah.
plumber. I mean, you spend quite a bit of time, especially back in the day, you spent quite a bit of time with those people before you struck out on your own. And that was a discipleship. That was not a mentorship.
It's generally years. It's
Right.
not
And
days, it's not
so,
months. It's generally years in an apprenticeship.
whereas it's traditional discipleship in the Christian aspect that we're talking about is transformation focused. It's more about being more like Jesus, like we said before, getting rid of the old way and conforming to the new ways that Christ wants us to live by and be set free from that torment of the past. But it's when it comes to those who are the mentors and the disciplers, it requires a different level of accountability for you.
Oh man. Come
It's
on.
it not
You're
I'm
not
not
getting
saying
into
it's
that. Come on.
I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier to just uplift you and encourage you and be like, you got this, buddy. I support you. I smack you on the back. Woohoo, great job. You scored that touchdown kind of thing. But when you're like gonna dive into deep things in people's life, their prayer life, their accountability, working with them through hard emotional and spiritual issues, and even behavioral issues in life, man, you got to be on your game. You have to be on it. You have to be going before the Lord all the time. You have to be working for your life to be transformed and your life to change, because if we're doing it the right way, we have to do it like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, leave me be. Follow him. I'm only an example as long as I'm following the example.
So do you think that we've made mentorship more appealing because discipleship just feels too much?
It's too much re responsibility. We don't want to be responsible
Exactly.
level. And I'm not hating on anybody specific, and I'm throwing my own self in there. It's not easy to be. I mean, there's so much more work involved.
Oh, it's a whole lot more work because that's part of your life. That's day-to-day grind, right?
Right. I mean, I have to be working to be a better Christian. Not, and it's and that's the thing that's different about it, is it's not like I have to be a better one thing here. I have to be a better human being. I have to be a better Christian. I need to spend more time in my word. I need to spend more time studying, more time praying, more time worshiping, not so that I can go brag about it to anybody. Nobody will even know that I'm doing it. It's just between me and Jesus, and I need to spend more time with Jesus, more time cutting off the things of the world, because I've got someone else that is looking to me for answers. And I'm not required to have all those answers, but I got to know where to point them to.
Oh, absolutely.
And that doesn't mean I have to know every scripture and where it is and the address of it, but it means I have to know, okay, to deal with that, you have to go to Jesus. So what does that look like? This is what it looks like for me in my life. And it might look a little different for you in your life, but here's how I did it. You can't say here's how I did it if you haven't done it.
Let's think about it from this point. Cost and commitment.
Ooh.
You know, mentorship is also often seasonal. Discipleship is lifelong, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Mentorship is advice driven. discipleship is transformation driven, which is exactly what you were just talking about. Right. You know, because transformation doesn't mean it can hit a timeline that you want it to. If you and I are walking each other through something, whatever it is, you might get through your issue in a couple months. I might take a couple years or vice versa. Right. But the thing is it's not about just me giving you some advice or you giving me advice and we just kind of roll with it. No, it's like we're brothers. Hey, Vince, how's that going? That situation. Hey, a couple weeks later, hey, Vince, I know that you've been dealing with XYZ. How's that going? Oh, hey, great. I'm glad you had some victory. Follow up a couple weeks or a couple months later. Vince, just want to check in, make sure everything's good. How are we doing with, you know, such and such situation? And, you know, when we have that model where we're doing life together and we're really pouring into each other for transformation, it becomes less convenient. You know, it's not a convenient-driven relationship. You know, mentorship many times is a hands-off approach because you meet and then it's no longer your deal. Discipleship requires more of an intimate and time-driven connection. And in intimacy, we do not mean sex. We mean more of a close understanding of the person you're dealing with. Right. Because you're asking key conversational questions that help you understand how you need to work with that person.
I do feel like too, and this is me, I can't say that I'm right and wrong in this thought. This is my thought on it is I kind of feel like mentorship is more, the onus of the work is more on the mentee. The mentor shares their experience. They share their wisdom. They share their knowledge.
Absolutely.
It's up to the mentee to implement that to gain wisdom and knowledge and information or upgrade in their finances or whatever it may be that they're doing. Whereas with a when it's discipleship, I feel like there's almost an equal onus on both. And it's like two different paths, but they're intertwined and interconnected with Christ as that third cord. So a three-strand cord in that, in the sense that there's work that you as the discipler has to do. And it's the same with the same intensity, the same fervor, the same passion.
Absolutely.
As that person who you're discipling. And sometimes you have to push harder because there's that whole thought process of those who follow you will only do about 80% of what you do right. So you have to step it up higher and they'll do like, I think it's whatever you do right, they'll do it to about the 80% mark. Whatever you do wrong, they'll do it 80% more so than what you're doing wrong.
Well, doesn't that go back to like whenever you have a problem at the restaurant or store, you know, people generally don't go to the manager and say, you know, Manager John, I just wanted to tell you today what an awesome experience I had. No, what they do is they go to the manager and say, you won't believe the horrendous experience. And then they'll go tell 20, you know, 10 to 20 people the horrible experience, but they almost never say anything about the good thing. You know, I really think the biggest
we do that. We actually do that. We've had times when we've had great service, we'll call the manager over and be like, can we talk to your manager? And the poor kid is like, is everything okay? We're like, yeah, no, everything's great. Everything's great. We just want to talk to the manager. The manager comes over and they're like expecting us to blast them. Like, listen, we just have to tell you that was the best wait service we've had, made our night, just bragging. The manager gets all relieved and happy. The kid kind of walks up and is listening in the background and they're all excited and happy. And it's just like, you have no idea. You made our night. We had a rough day and blah, 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 all that stuff like that. Cause people need that too.
Oh, I completely agree. And my wife and I will do that from time to time as well. Cause I used to, at one point when I was at going to Christ for the Nations myself, I was in the waiting industry and it makes a world of difference. You're exactly right. I think though, in this particular portion of the conversation though, what we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to walk with people beyond convenience?
That's the other part of discipleship. It's inconvenient for the discipler.
Yep. It's just like it's uncomfortable to have these conversations. It's inconvenient to walk in discipleship with somebody, walk them through that process. Now, let's talk about Jesus and his model.
I like that model.
That's discipleship in action. I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, what did he do? Was he hidden or was he in the mix of it? He was in the mix. He was right there with his people, right? He lived with his disciples. He taught them. He corrected them. He challenged them. Oh, he got in their business, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his investment was not only holistic, it was intentional. It was purposeful. It was driven with a end point in mind. And as Christian believers, we have that same goal, right? Because we're disciples of Christ, and then we're trying to make disciples for Christ. So our goal is his goal. So we're not having to come up with a new agenda or some special secret sauce. Guess what? The original flavor was already created. All we have to do is go to the prayer closet to get the original recipe. You know, so are we willing to put in the time that it takes to go get that secret sauce so that we can pour into those around us? And are we willing to inconvenience ourselves and get rid of that convenience-minded mentality so that we can go and make disciples for the kingdom of God? And these are things that we really need to ask ourselves as the body of Christ, because we were given the Great Commission by Jesus before he ascended to heaven. And it wasn't just at the fivefold ministry. You've heard me say this many times. There's over 200 people there at the Mount whenever he ascended, and he told them all, go and make disciples of all creation. He didn't say, you 12 spent the last 3 years with me. It is now time for you yourselves to go and make disciples. No, he said, go and make disciples to all of those that were present. So the question is why is it that we tend to, you know, say, Pastor, it's your job to go mentor Johnny. I brought him in. I need you to get him saved and mentor him.
Well, you know, there's also the aspect too is, you know, we'll look at Matthew 28 and or we'll look at Mark 16. We won't combine the two of those as part of the Great Commission. It does say go into all the earth and preach the gospel, but it also says to make disciples of all nations.
Absolutely. Right?
So you need to preach the gospel knowing that not every single person you preach to will receive it, but to those that do, that means you have to put in the work to actually bring them into the obedience of the faith. And, you know, it makes me think of when I was younger, and I don't carry this against them at this point in my life. I really don't. I got saved when I was about the week before I turned 13 years old. I was so excited about it. And I was there and I started going to youth group. I just turned 13 the next week. And the first couple weeks were cool. Everybody's really nice to me. Everybody's really kind. And I'm not calling them out in a negative way, but just for context, it was at a Baptist church. So they were very much, they're all word preaching, right? But what I started to notice about a month in, 2 months in, I started getting treated a certain way. And I didn't understand what it was. And then I started to realize that they just expected me to know everything. Now, I grew up in a Catholic church. All you did was show up. You know, they're like, holy ala requiem. And you show up 3 times a year. I did catechism and all that stuff like that. But I didn't understand what these people were talking about and what they were doing. And so they just had this expectation that I should know everything. And then some other things happened. And so I just stopped going there and just went back to living my life and all that. And I got older and got invited back to church in my later teen years, 16, 17, 18. And I had an encounter with Jesus that changed my life and messed me up for the rest of my life, which is great. Hey. But again, what I ran into is in the beginning, everybody just expected me to know how to live. They just expected me to know how to act. And I was met with this judgment and disdain if I made a mistake.
There you go.
And I was like, wait, hold up. But you just told me a story about how when you started, things weren't so great for you. But now why are you judging me? And that's the part where it takes work as being a discipler, is because when you're discipling someone and they're still dealing with their sin, or they're still dealing with old things and they haven't put them away yet, Yes, it gets frustrating. Yes, you have the right to speak into their life over it. But when did you all of a sudden become so holy that you are now perfect? Remember where you were when you started, and that's where the work kicks in for us. We have to remember where God took us from. We have to remember not to cast judgment on them, but to show love to them and to pull them in, drawing them in with the love of Christ and holding the standard. Man, holding the standard is hard.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not, it is ridiculously hard. It would be so easy to just be lazy and be like, nah, you good, man. It's okay. We're good. And matter of fact, I'm good too.
Would you think that, people were in that instance trying to go for more of a professional Christendom in their approach?
I almost at this point, I would have to say I wouldn't be surprising. And that's what the even the teens that they were raising up, that's what they were doing.
I mean, and this is not meant to be critical in any way, because I know that
No,
people,
no, no.
they need metrics to try to understand, are they doing a good job? So we understand that. We're not trying to ding you if you're doing that. But many times people turn it into a numbers game. How many did I get versus XYZ church? And I understand competition. I understand people like to win, but it shouldn't be about competing with your neighbor. It should be about, how much transformation did you see?
Should be quality over quantity.
And the reality is, because if I can raise up three mentees or disciples, right, that have a transformed life, then they begin to disciple others. Now it's not just me discipling, but they're discipling. And then eventually I take on three more disciples and they take on disciples. So now it's not just three, it's now three times three times three times three, right? So you got three people mentoring three. So that's nine. Plus they were already mentored, right? That's 12, right? And then if I'm taking on three more, that's 15. Now, if you have that 15, and then after a couple of years, now they all begin to mentor people again. Wow, you just get a multiplication out of this world.
Well, and then there's the reality of and this is where it gets really, really hard for us as humans. I think back to, and I cannot remember the man's name for the life of me, and a lot of people can't, but the guy who was the pastor of John Livingston, who was the great missionary to Africa. From England, right? He reached thousands upon thousands of lives. The pastor that taught at this church, the story goes that it was a small church. I don't think he ever went over 40 or 50 people. There wasn't a whole lot of pro huge movement and activity for people coming into the church, except there was this little kid that would come in there and would sit down and sometimes even sit right in front of him and sometimes even grab a hold of his leg when he was preaching and just listen to him preach. And in the natural, all this man seemingly ever got credit for was this little kid. But yet this little kid grows up to be John Livingston, who goes to Africa and shares the gospel throughout all these different places in Africa. Hundreds and even thousands of people get saved. To the point he was so well known in Africa that when he died, the people there asked if they could have his heart and bury it there, even though they wanted to bury his body back in England. Because he said his body may belong to England, but his heart belongs in Africa. So, and he reached thousands upon thousands. Now, spiritually speaking, in the kingdom of heaven, that pastor, that one pastor, because he was faithful to do it every day, all the time that God called him to do it. He's getting credit for that in heaven, even though he didn't see it on earth. And so that's a hard thing for us to do too, and to look at as a discipler is understand that you might not reach thousands of people your own self. You might only ever have a huge impact on two, three people in your entire life. But who do they have? Like you were mentioning, who do they have an impact on? Maybe one of them becomes the next Billy Graham.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe one of them becomes the next person that they're reaching into households thousands at a time, and people are getting radically changed and transformed. Maybe they're the next Dutch Sheets, the next whoever, you know,
Oh,
Cindy
yeah.
Jacobs or whatever, and you just don't know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as we begin to wrap this up, I would like to ask our audience just to take a couple minutes of their time and to begin to consider and evaluate their own self at the moment. And what are we asking you to do? Are you currently in a state of mentoring or discipling? That's the first question I want you to ask yourself. And I would ask you just to take a piece of paper and write a couple answers out. And after the next question is what are you being called into for this season? Are you currently seeking a mentor or someone to disciple you? Or are you currently being called into a season to mentor or disciple someone? And I want you to take a few minutes, reflect on that, and then write that answer down. And then finally, how do you shift from a mentorship mindset to a discipleship mission? I begin to consider that and write that down. And then as you reflect on your answers, I want you to take that into your prayer closet and begin to really consider these things and ask the Holy Spirit to really give you some insight on mindset change so that your mindset can be aligned with His heart for you in this season that you're walking into. Because every one of us are called to disciple the nations. We're all called to disciple our neighbor, our friend, our children, those around us, to nurture a Christ-like relationship in those around us. Do you have any closing thoughts, Vince, before we wrap this up today?
And I really like the challenge you put out there. I would also say in your processing of that, count the cost. In addition to all of that, what he said, also count the cost. Well, what does that
Absolutely.
mean? That means that you have to know, okay, if I'm going to become a discipler, I have to be willing to pay the price of putting down things that I currently helps me feel comfortable, putting down things that help me to unwind, spend maybe wake up 10 minutes earlier and spend more time with the Lord, or transitioning your day from only doing a morning time with the Lord to talking to Him throughout the day, praying for your people,
Oh, yeah.
checking in on your people, creating a small devotional or a Bible study that you do with them, or whatever it may be, or creating an accountability system for them, something like that. Well, it's gonna stretch you. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna cause pain. Just like we talk about working out, the only way for growth is through some form of stretching and pain. So count the cost. Don't just go into it and be like, this is great, but count the cost.
Oh, absolutely. And that is a critical point that most of us skip. You know what I'm saying? We tend to kind of look right over the fact that we need to count the cost. We need to really investigate in what are we investing of our time, ourself, and what are we going to be pouring into others?
And as you're about to give them the closing credits, I would say this: when Kirk gives it to you, man, don't just email us show ideas on this one. Email us what's going on in your journey with this. Where are you at? If you have questions, comments, concerns with this, I mean, we'd be more than happy to open up more and share our specific journeys on how we've transitioned over. And man, just tell us how the journey's going. We love to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, guys, just like Vince said, if you would like to reach out to us, you can do so at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also go to the website at mooseministries.org. You can go to the contact page there. Also, if you'd like to support the work that we're doing or this show, you can go to mooseministries.org/give. Guys, we're so excited that you joined us today. We can't wait to hear you next time. Talk to you later.
See you later, guys.